Thank you, Pastor Enoch, for that warm welcome and introduction. If you have your Bible app or your physical Bible, please can you all meet me in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, we're going to look at from verses 17 to 27. Today we'll be finishing off our sermon series on renewed life. And then next we will be beginning a new series through the letter to the Philippians, where we're going to focus on searching for lasting joy. And that will take us to the missions conference in November, and after that, it will bring us to the season of Advent. So Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 27, is also conveniently found on the front of your bulletin. I would like to read the passage for us, and then after I read it, I will lead us in a time of prayer. So Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 27, hear now the word of the Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good, and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus greet you. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you all please join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. It reveals your character, it reveals who you are. And so, Lord, as we come before your word, Lord, would your spirit work in our hearts, work in our minds to be able to receive this word, to be able to be open to this word, to be able to put this word into our lives, be able to practice it into our lives. So, Lord, I pray that you guide us this morning as we look into your word. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 14 years old, I really liked Saturdays. I still like Saturdays, but I particularly liked Saturdays when I was 14 years old, because when I was 14 years old, Saturday had something called Saturday morning cartoons. Some of you may remember that. Saturday morning cartoons. I will look forward to that because I liked new episodes of X-Men, the animated series. I liked the 1 hour of Pokemon. I liked the 1 hour of Yu-Gi-Oh! And after the morning cartoons were over, then comes the afternoon, right? So afternoon, I would say, okay, I got two options. Option one, I could play one round of a game called Street Fighter. No, kidding. Several rounds of a game called Street Fighter. Or option two, if I was fortunate, there'll be some sort of martial arts movie marathon on Channel 38. And the martial arts movie could be starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And I was really entertained by Jean-Claude Van Damme. So, two options. So, on one particular Saturday, after watching or absorbing all those Saturday morning cartoons, there was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie on. So I tuned it on and I started watching, and I find him very entertaining. The way he stylishly kicks people in the face, I find that very entertaining. And I was watching that movie, I hear a doorbell ring. I go up to the door, and like I've been, you know, taught by my parents, make sure you check who it is before you open the door. I check who it is. It looked like a family, pretty nice looking family and pretty well dressed. I open the door and they tell me that, hi, we want to share with you about Jesus. And I thought, oh, great. I grew up going to BCC. I grew up going to this church. Great. Let's talk about Jesus. And as I was listening to share with me about Jesus, I noticed a couple of things that seemed a little off. Some things that they were saying about Jesus that it's not what I learned. It's not what I learned from going to Sunday school here. It's not what I learned from going to Teens with the Reason, which is one of our youth fellowships here. Something that seemed quite right. But I didn't know what to make of it. I didn't know if I could, correct them, because it, to me, it seems like, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I can't right out say to you straight up in your face that you are wrong, that I am right, because they had the translation of their Bible with them. And as they were talking to me about Jesus, they were pointing out to passages in their translation of the Bible, proving what they were going to say and what they were saying. And then it got to a point where they really want to share with me more. They really wanted to talk to me more. So they said, can we come into your house? Right? Can we come to your house so we can talk to you more, so we can share with you more? Now, I was uncomfortable with that because they are strangers, right? They are, after all, strangers. So, you know, no, I'm not really comfortable with that. And also, at the same time, from hearing what they were saying about Jesus, what to me seemed to be wrong, it seemed to not connect well to what I've been learning in Sunday school, what I've been learning while being here at BCEC, also had this inner struggle. I had this inner struggle where, is what they're saying really right? What about the things that I've been learning, right? What about the things that I've been learning for 14 years, right, growing in this church about Jesus? And because I didn't invite them in, and they didn't have really opportunity to talk to me more because they want to go visit other houses, they left me two pamphlets. I took the pamphlets, and then they went on their way. But by the end of that experience, I really struggled with what to make of all this, with what to make about how, what they were saying about Jesus and what to make of this experience. And I share this with you is because our passage this morning, Romans chapter 16, verses 17-27, the Apostle Paul, he is closing off this letter. This letter that he's writing to Christians in Rome. And he has some closing instructions. He has some closing warnings about certain people, about people who would be a spiritual danger to them, and by extension, a spiritual danger to us. So as we look at this passage, there are three questions that I'm going to offer to you. Three questions that I believe this passage answers for us, which make up the 3 points for this message. The first question is this. Who are the kinds of people that we are to be cautious of in this world? Who are the kinds of people that we should be on alert, that we should be watching out for, that we should be looking out for? Who are these kind of people that we should be cautious of in this world? Secondly, why? Why are we to be cautious of such people? Why should we be on alert? Why should we be watching out and looking out for these people? So first, again, who are the kinds of people, right? Who are the kinds of people that Paul is talking about that we are to be cautious of in this world? And then secondly, why? Why are we to be cautious of them? Why are we to be cautious of such people? And then thirdly, how? How are we to be because of such people? How are we to become? How are we to be because of these people that exist in the world? So who are the people? Who are the kinds of people that we are to be cautious of? Why are we to be cautious of such people? And then how are we to be because of such people? So the first one, who are the people? Who are the kinds of people that we are to be cautious of in this world? And it is this. It is the people who cause divisions in the church. It is the people who cause the church to be divided, to be in discord, to be in disagreement. It is the people who cause people to stumble in their spiritual journey with Jesus, to cause people to trip up in their spiritual journey with Jesus. And we see this starting verse 17. I invite you to look with me there. Starting verse 17, Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. Paul here, as he's closing off this letter, he feels the need to address a warning. And the warning is this. There are people that he doesn't specifically identify. There are people whose goal, who has a purpose to go to people, go to believers, go to people in general, and cause them to be divided, cause them to separate from the church family, cause them to leave that behind, leave the church behind, be in disagreement, be in disharmony in the Christian community. Furthermore, they have a goal to cause people to be stumbling, to stumble in their walk with Jesus, to cause them to question, to cause them to doubt what they know and what they believe about Jesus. And the way they do this is by teaching something that's contrary to what's true about the gospel, teaching something that's contrary to what is true about the person and work of Jesus. And what does Paul say? He instructs you. He makes a command at the end of verse 17, avoid them. Avoid them. Steer away from them. Turn away from them. They will bring you spiritual harm. They will guide you to spiritual ruin. Their goal is to divide you. Their goal is to ruin you. Their goal is to make you trip up, to make you fail in your walk with Jesus. Back to a Saturday afternoon. So that Saturday afternoon, I encountered these kinds of people. That Saturday, I encountered these kinds of people who were teaching. This is what they were teaching. They were teaching that Jesus was created by God as an archangel Michael before the world existed. They told me that Jesus was created by God as the archangel Michael before the world was created. They also told me that Jesus, when he was born merely as a human being, but not God in human flesh. And any of you who knows the doctrine about Christ, the doctrine about the person of Christ, see that that's problematic. But me, when I was 14 years old, maybe because I wasn't paying enough attention in Sunday school, I wasn't paying enough attention during teens or the reason when messages were given, I struggled. I struggled with that. In addition, these people were saying to me, you know, you should come join one of our meetings. Come join one of our meetings so you can see what it's like, what we teach about and what we're all about. But if I were to join one of their meetings, what would happen? That would cause me to separate. That would cause me to be divided. That would cause me to leave my church family here to go off to one of their meetings, teaching something that would cause me more confusion, cause me more doubt, cause me more questions. What they were teaching, along with what I've been taught here at BCC, what I've been taught by Sunday school, what I was taught in youth fellowship, that combination started to make questions in my mind, started to cause doubt in my mind. In other words, I stumbled. I stumbled in my walk with Christ there. I stumbled in my belief about who Christ is, who Christ is, and what he has done, and what he's all about, because of their false teaching. Paul instructs that we are to avoid. But the only way to avoid, the only way to stay away from their influence is that we have to watch out for them. We have to look out for them, that they are existence in this world to cause us to stumble, to cause us as a church to be divided, to be in disagreement, to be in discord. So I ask you, are you aware of this? Are you aware that you live in a world, we all live in a world, where there are such people who teach about Jesus, but they teach falsely. And they teach falsely in such a way that will cause division in the church, to cause them to be led astray, to be broken apart, to fall, to not be able to follow Jesus faithfully. Are you aware that there are such people in this world that could bring such spiritual harm to you? These people, they are out there to cause division, to cause us to stumble. But why, right? Why? Is it just the spiritual harm that's mentioned in verse 17? No, Paul goes on to say that there's two clear reasons why. Why are we to be cautious about such people? Why are we to be alert? Are we to be watch out for, to look out for these people? And it's this. It's because they don't serve Jesus. They are about serving themselves. They are about pleasuring themselves. They are about making themselves feel good by bringing you into their organization, into their society, into their community. Secondly, these people are about deceiving us. It's not about leading us to truly follow Christ. It's about leading us away from truly following Christ. Instead, following an organization instead. And we see this in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive." Paul, he goes on to say, these are people, this is the reason you should avoid them. They're not for Christ. They are not for Christ. They are for themselves. They are for their own pleasures. They are for meeting their own needs and their own expectations. Because that's what it says, their own appetites. The word there usually means their own belly, to think about their own appetites, their own pleasure. Furthermore, these are people, they talk smooth. They know how to speak eloquently. They know how to say things even though it's wrong, but it's coached, it's covered in such a way that it seems good. It sounds right. It seems like it's something that's acceptable. It seems like it's something that's actually good, but it's really not. And by doing so, they deceive. They deceive our hearts. They deceive the hearts of those who are unsuspecting. They deceive the hearts of those who are innocent, who are naive. Going back to that Saturday afternoon, the way that those people were talking to me about Jesus was not in a way that glorified Jesus. I noticed that. Right? It was not in a way that showed that they were serving Jesus. It wasn't in such a way they showed that they really honored and glorified Jesus. Instead, I got this impression. I got this impression from my interaction with them that it wasn't so much them causing me to believe in what they believe in. It wasn't so much about that. What they really highlighted is what their organization believed about Jesus. What their organization believed about Jesus. Not so much what they want me to come to believe about Jesus. It's what their organization believed about Jesus. They weren't serving Jesus. They were serving their organization. They weren't serving Jesus. They weren't glorifying Jesus. They were serving their organization. And they came across as very convincing. Right? Even something that to me seemed wrong, sounded like wrong, but they were able to word it in such a way that sounds very appealing. So I was like, I could believe that. I could hold to that. Because they had the translation about and they're pointing out to me proof to believe that. And when I, during the situation, I know my heart was deceived. I know that my heart at the time was deceived. Why? Because when they handed me those two pamphlets before they left, I accepted them. I accepted those two pamphlets. Not only that, I did not feel right about throwing them away. I did not feel right about tossing them in the trash. In fact, I kept them for 2 years in my room. I kept them because in my heart, in my inner being, I felt like there's a struggle. They were so convincing about what they were saying about Jesus. Sure, they were kind of contrary to what my Sunday school teacher had told me about Jesus, but the way they were thinking, it seemed so believable. They were pouring out things in the translated Bible. It seemed so believable. I was left in a place, from that experience, I was left in a place to actually seriously consider their view about Jesus. To actually seriously consider, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. Maybe something's my Sunday school teacher, maybe it's because I wasn't fully paying attention. Maybe my Sunday school teachers were wrong. And maybe they were right. Friends, we have to be cautious. They are out there. They don't serve Christ. They don't serve you. They are about themselves, serving their organization, hoping that they can get you to join their organization so they can pat themselves on the back, thinking, ah, yes, I was able to get someone to join the organization, to join this organization. Or they can have, they'll hope that their organization will pat them on the back. Good job. You were able to get someone out of the church to join us, to join our cause. So I ask you, have you encountered such people in your life? People who talk and share about Jesus, but when you listen closely, when you pay attention, they are not serving Jesus. They are actually not glorifying Jesus. Maybe you have been in a situation where they're trying to get you. They're trying to get you to join their organization. They're trying to get you to serve in their organization. These people are out there, friends. They're out there to deceive us, to lead us away from truly following Christ. So what are we to do? Recap. Who are these kinds of people? The kinds of people that create divisions, cause us to be disagreement, to divide, cause us to stumble on our spiritual journey with Jesus. Whether you are seeking to know about Jesus, seeking a relationship with Jesus, or you have been a Christian for a long time, they're causing you to stumble. They're out there to cause you to stumble. Why? Because they're not for Jesus. They're not for Jesus. They're not there to serve Jesus, not there to glorify him. They're not there to point you clearly to him so that you truly are following him. No, they're there to deceive you. So how are we to be? How are we to be because of the existence of such people? And the answer is this. We are to be discerning. We are to be discerning. We are to be a people that trust in the promise of God. We are to be a people that is not simple-minded about certain things about the gospel, that are not simple-minded about who Christ is and what he has done for us. Instead, we are people who are discerning. We are people who truly understand, truly hold to the promise of God. And we see this in verses 19 and 20. I invite you to meet me there. Verses 19 and 20, Paul continues and he says, "For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise. I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Paul, he goes on to say, he recognizes that Roman Christians, they have a good reputation of being obedient, or being obedient to the gospel that was proclaimed to them. Not only in this letter, but from other people, faithful Christians who have visited Rome, and they have put their trust in Jesus. They have been obedient. But Paul also recognizes another thing about obedience. There's also blind obedience. Right? There's a type of obedience where it's just a reflection of our innocence. That's why in verse 18, the last part of verse 18, the hearts of the naive. It can also be translated the hearts of those who are innocent, the hearts of those who are unsuspectable. And Paul is saying, yes, I rejoice over the fact that you are obedient, but I don't want you to be in blind obedience. I want you to have the type of obedience that's furthermore, that's discerning, that can truly tell from what is true and what is false. He goes on and he says that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. We read this and sometimes we think, oh, why does Paul just suddenly talk about Satan, right? It's like out of the blue, right? Why is it suddenly mentioned that the God of peace will soon crush Satan on your feet? Contextually, this is what Paul is saying. He's saying those who are causing divisions in the church, those who are coming and falsely teaching about Christ, falsely teaching about who he is and what he has done, causing people to fall in the spiritual journey, deceiving people, behind them is Satan, our adversary, who wants to deceive us, who wants to lead us astray, who does not want us to faithfully follow Christ Jesus. And he's saying, the God of peace, the God who wants his church, his community to be united, to be in harmony, to not be in discord, to not be in disagreement, this God who is the God of peace, he will soon crush Satan, not under his feet, under your feet. Notice, it says, under your feet, not under his feet. He will give you victory over Satan. He will give you the victory over Satan. You will be the one who will trample Satan under your feet. You will have victory over him. And that's grace. That's why he concludes here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This victory that you can have, for you, those of you who are not believers in Jesus, you can have this victory. For those of you who are believers in Jesus, the victory is coming. The time will come. It's coming soon. You will crush Satan on your feet. By the God of peace, you will crush him on his feet. You will be victorious over him. Paul wants the Roman Christian, by extension to us, to be discerning and to hold to this promise that we will soon crush Satan. We will soon be victorious. When I was in high school, every Friday after school, I would take our public transportation out to BCEC. And when I take the public transportation out to BCEC, I would see Pastor Enoch. I would ring the doorbell, right, at 249 Harrison Ave, ring the doorbell. Pastor Enoch would come down from his office in the attic, right, where the youth lounge is. If you remember from the youth lounge, he would come to open the door. He would welcome me. He would greet me, right, and I would come in. And then we'll go upstairs, and I would hang out at the youth lounge. And I'll hang out at the youth lounge, and sometimes, if Pastor Enoch wasn't too busy, he would spend time with me by playing Street Fighter, because at the youth lounge, we had a Super Nintendo there. And sometimes, if he was free, he would play a couple games with me in Street Fighter. He's beaten me a few times, I can admit that. He's beaten me a few times, fair and square. But there's one Friday afternoon, as I was there sitting in the youth lounge, I noticed that Pastor Enoch was really busy. He was swamped with work. And I didn't feel right bothering him. I didn't want to get in his way. I wanted him to focus because it seemed like he was focusing on the message that he was going to deliver on the night for Teen Fellowship, which is one of our youth programs, and for teens with a reason. So I didn't bother him. But also, I didn't feel like I was in the mood to play shofar. I know for some of you who know who I am, that's a shocker, right? But I didn't feel like I was in the mood to play. So what ended up happening was, I went to Pastor Enoch's office, and I looked at his bookshelf. I looked at his bookshelf, many books there. Some of them have really beautiful, nice-looking covers. And then some of them are like really old-looking books, right? The one that caught my eye was the most boring, old-looking book I've seen, I noticed on that shelf. It was blue-covered, okay? No designs on it, blue-covered. And then on the outside binding of it, right, it said, Systematic Theology, Grudem, in gold letters. The most boring-looking book on that shelf. I picked it up, and I looked through the table of contents. And to my amazement, the table of contents had all these topics about Christianity, about the foundations, the heart of the Christian faith. I realized this book was what I was looking for. This is the book that I should have had, that I wish I had when I was 14. Because this book answered questions that I had about the person and work of Christ. This book could help me to understand clearly, more clearly, from the Bible, our Bible, this text, what is true about the person and work of Christ. So I took it, I borrowed it from Pastor Enoch. I started taking notes on it because I couldn't afford to buy it. So I had to save enough money so I could buy it. My parents could help me buy it. I took notes on it. And after reading the chapter about Christ, understanding about his person, understanding about his work, that's when I started to have discernment. That's when I started to understand what is true and what is false. That's when I start to understand that when those people who came to my house that Saturday afternoon and told me that God created Jesus as the Archangel Michael to create before the existence of the world, that is absolutely false. When they told me that when Jesus was born, when Christ was born, he was born only merely as a human being and not God in human flesh, not fully God, that was absolutely false. Because I was able to see from, learn from that book, from someone who's a professor of Bible and theology at Phoenix Seminary, he was able to just describe things and point out the passages from the Bible to make it clear to me about the person and the work of Christ so that I can actually identify, I can actually discern what is true and what is false. And once I became more solid in my understanding of that, those two pamphlets that I had, that I held for 2 years in my room, I tossed them right away. I tossed them right out. Because I knew right then that what was recorded in those two pamphlets, what was causing doubt, what was causing me question about the gospel, about the person and work of Christ, was absolutely, all that was in there was absolutely false. It was not according to the Bible. It was not according to the authority of the Bible. It's all here, the gospel, everything that's said about the person and work of Christ. It was not true. So I tossed it out. No problem. I didn't have that struggle like I did before. Where is your discernment at? Where is your discernment at? Are you able to identify what is true, what true teaching about Christ from false teaching about Christ? Is it time for you? Maybe it's for some of you, you've been Christians for a real long time. You believe in the gospel. But if you're honest with yourself, your understanding of the gospel is vague. Your understanding of the gospel is superficial. You believe it, but if you were asked about it, if you were questioned about it, you will fall to pieces. You wouldn't be able to fully describe it. Some of you are seekers here. Maybe you're not Christian. Maybe someone who's a Christian friend has brought you to church because you want to truly understand who this Jesus is. You want to truly understand what this gospel is. You want to, not what the media tells you what the gospel is. You don't want these false teachers tell you what the gospel is. You don't want these false teachers tell you about the person and work of Christ. You want to know from here, from the Bible, who is Christ? What is truly the gospel? Paul is telling us, have discernment.
be wise so that you truly know what is true from what is false, so that you don't be deceived, that you're not naive. So to sum up, who are the kinds of people, right? Who are the kinds of people that we should be cautious of? Those who divide, those who break us apart, those who cause us to stray away from the church family, stray away from the body of Christ, from the church, cause us to stumble in our walk with Jesus, in our journey, whether we are seekers or whether we've been walking for years. Why? Because they're not for Jesus. They're not serving Christ. They are serving themselves. They are serving the organization, hoping to get you to join their organization so they can be pleased with themselves. They are out to deceive. Why? Because they are out to deceive us. How would it be? We are to be discerning so that we can grow. We can take the time to really, with conscious error, see and investigate what is true about the gospel, what is absolutely true, what is true about Christ, about his person and his work. So that we can be people who hold to the promise that one day the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet, under my feet, so that we have victory over Satan. So I see this as the main idea of this passage, that we are sure to look out and avoid. Look out and avoid what is false and evil and hold to what is true and good. Look out and avoid what is false and evil and hold to what is true and what is actually good. I want to close as we look at this last part of this passage. You look at me, verses 25 to 27. Paul closes the letter, and this is what he says. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to notice the first part of verse 25, it says, God is able, he has the power to strengthen us. But he strengthens us according to what? The gospel, the true gospel. What is the content of the gospel? It's the preaching, the message about Jesus Christ. That's how we're able to have the strength to look out and avoid what is false and what is evil. That's how we have the strength to really hold to what is true, what is truly good, what is true about the gospel, about the person and work of Christ. Because God, he's able to give us the strength according to this gospel, according to the message about Jesus Christ. Would you all join me in prayer, close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the gospel that you, O Lord, you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins on the cross so that when we believe in your son, we will be forgiven our sins and have life everlasting. Lord, we thank you for your word, for it proclaims your truth, your absolute truth about who you are, about who your son is, and about this good news. Lord, I pray for all of us here that we will go forth. We will go forth from here be discerning. Look for ways to truly understand this gospel. Look for ways, whether it's to ask our Sunday school teachers, ask members of pastoral staff, ask our small group leaders for resources to read up, to look at really what does the Bible really teach about the gospel? What does the Bible really teach us about the person and work of Christ so that we may not be deceived by false teachers that are happening in this world? Lord, I lift these things up to you in praise in Jesus' name. Amen.